It always stinks of a publicity stunt whenever Gwyneth Paltrow releases one of her bougie new products. And her recent, "This smells like my vagina," candle smells exactly the same.
Gwyneth claims she was high on mushrooms when she came up with the idea of the candle, described as a blend of geranium, bergamot, cedar, and other stuff that puts us in a mind of fantasy, seduction, and sophisticated warmth.
I'm not sure what that smells like, but I'm pretty sure her candles smell like mummy, honey. The candle sold out thanks to Elton John, who probably snatched a bunch to burn during future performances of his iconic song, Candle in the Wind.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to figure out if Gwyneth Paltrow's scented candles could be considered fossil fuel.
Plus, the boys in the band, the pioneering play and film about gay men sassing each other up at a birthday party, celebrates its 50th anniversary by coming to Netflix and Chicago.
Busting cheeks and busting beds at the Olympics.
And the Pope asked a nun, "Please don't bite me." I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun. It's a new year, a new podcast, a new tight, tight vagina.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, and I am feeling good.
Vagina scented candles are all sold out, and Matt Brown is in the home studio.
Oh yes, I'm here, and they're all smelling my pussy. It's a new moment. Waft in it, motherfuckers. Waft.
Did you light a candle when you came in? It smells like vagina. Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
I mean, I was just lighting a candle at your local Catholic church, so it might have been like Sister Margaret Conception's vagina candle. Might have been her.
Concepcion's vagina.
No, it's Margaret Conception. She's like Irish, but like, you know, it used to be Latina nun, but she's making some stuff up.
It smells like a Mexican flea market.
Mexican flea market and like
churros, fried things.
Churros and chicken with the head cut off, but you have to take off the feathers. No head, still all the feathers.
I have a candle that smells like my dick. Do you want to know what it smells like?
Jeez.
Fausto's ass.
Zing. So Gwyneth Paltrow's made a lot of news for selling a candle that says, "This smells like my vagina."
Okay, so what does she think her pussy smells like? Was her husband consulted? What was like the, so did she like dab tissue paper on her twat and then take it to a factory and say, "I need you to make this happen"? Like, what do you, like, how does that happen?
Her vagina smells like money, honey.
Dirty and very well handled.
Pieces.
So, one or both. One or both, I'd hope. Not since Shakespeare in Love.
According to their website, this candle is made with geranium, citrusy bergamot, and cedar, and absolutely juxtaposed with rose and Brett seed. I don't know what that is.
That sounds lovely.
So her pussy smells like a cedar closet. Is her ass a Tennessee mountain home? What the fuck?
Well, a little citrusy because bergamot's kind of citrusy, right?
I guess so. Yeah. I have no idea what any of this stuff.
Citrus, cedar. Yeah.
That's like, I don't know. It sounds like a great, like a great cider, like a great ale, like a beer maybe, which makes me think she has a yeast issue and now I'm scared.
Well, the cedar's going to keep the moths out.
Smart idea. Her winter sweaters need to be protected.
And I think, you know, she's very clever and a wise businesswoman. I actually like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Is she selling this on OnlyFans or
no,
something?
No, she's selling it on her website, on her merch website that she has for herself.
Her lifestyle website.
Yes. Yeah.
Because she's the new Goop. Martha Stewart.
I guess so.
Could you imagine Martha's like, "God damn it, why didn't I have one?"
Well, I think
so. I'm like fire and brimstone. Sulfur and brimstone.
Yeah. I'm really mad that we haven't sold vaginas. I mean, candles.
It smells like my dick. I'm going to just take some of your poop and just...
anything can happen.
Mix it with some soy wax and there we go.
Oh, make it happen. It's vegan for the children and the gluten. Oh, yeah. No, I think they actually already do have candles named after my asshole. You just go into any Yankee candle and ask for clean linen. That's what you do. Mm-hmm.
So the candle originally sold for $75 because it's sold out just like Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie.
That's what her, yeah.
That's what her candles smell like.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet potato pie.
Is now selling for $250 on eBay. One of the top purchasers was musician Elton John, who just loved the idea.
Of How course many did he buy?
Yeah, do you know? Does it say?
Is he singing like Candle in the Wind? I would have liked to.
It gets
to have
better
known
and better, does it?
And that's smelled amazing. Your vagina.
I mean, I feel like Elton bought all those candles because everyone has that one food that you don't want to eat, but you love to smell it cooking. Like sometimes you just want to smell some fire under, but he doesn't want actual pussy, but just a little bit of like the odorama, maybe.
Maybe he's like, you know how insects are attracted by scent? Maybe he's trying to get some straight trade by like candle up against. It's a dark room. It's like, you don't know anything.
Well, he and his, 25-year-old husband have, like, that baby. Like, maybe he just wants the child to have a chance at heterosexuality. Be like, if he smells pussy when he's 9, maybe in 10 years.
Maybe.
Listen, it's rich. It's not just any pussy. It's rich white woman pussy who's bilingual and speaks Spanish.
Gwyneth Paltrow speaks Spanish.
Yes, ma'am.
What world?
In reality, this world, yeah.
She went to high school.
Habla español, Gwyneth Paltrow.
See, listen, if my
acento español.
If my dad was Bruce Paltrow and my mom was Blythe Danner and all I had to show for it was a $75 candle in a language that anybody could fucking learn, if they went to the meat market, oh my God, how are you going to take $300 million and just flush it down the toilet? You're from California. Why the fuck did you go to high school in Spain to learn Spanish? That is so like entitled and elitist. And of course, she should
listen,
be behind
a board. If I could
go
to boarding school in Barcelona, honey, I'd be there right now.
Yeah, because you would have been bent over till Christmas.
Legally, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no
idea. Would you want me go to boarding school in Barcelona?
They don't have any black people there. What would I do?
Oh, there's plenty of black people everywhere, honey.
I don't know about all that. I ain't seen none over in Barcelona.
Yeah, a lot of Cubans living there.
Not close enough, okay? Close, but no cigarillo.
Like, cigarillo. I'm really wondering if she's going to sell it as a scent.
I can't wait to buy it at TJ Maxx for $10.
Your pussy candles so cheap now.
If you wait long enough, everything ends up at Marshall's.
Well, you know, what I understand, those TJ Maxx and the Marshall's and stuff like that, a lot of that stuff is like it's produced for them. Mm-hmm. It's produced in small batch quantities. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to appear as though it's like you're saving a lot of money on this because it's the stuff that didn't sell when it was actually produced for this. Specifically that.
Yeah, no, market sale retail price is based on them having to give up a 30% sale. That's like the basis. That's where the market price comes from. Yeah, no, I literally was just shopping because I got a new job and like I bought like 4 pairs of like dress pants
for
like under $70, which is like preposterous. Like that shouldn't be able to happen.
What color are those pants?
The same color as my father. And
black is not editorial.
but it's in. It's the new black is the new black. It's forever black. But yeah, no. Like they say that like you're getting a deal. It's all hidden. They all know that's gonna happen. You can get so much good cheap drag makeup there. You can get very expensive makeup at TJ Maxx and at Marshall's. Oh yeah,
I heard that a Rue girl has a makeup line there.
No, she just steals and like the makeup line is her like line through the back door. Like that's
good makeup. Happening.
Yeah, no, it, like I get like all my Anastasia there. I get my Too Faced there. Like a lot of like nice brands. I get my bougie ass Elizabeth Arden moisturizers there. Like yeah, no, you can get nice brands there for super cheap, super cheap. Anastasia.
Okay, I have to find a new moisturizer.
Oh yeah, because believe me, like if you need some good moisture in the winter. Oh, because it's cold out here, and it's like Jussie Smollett, like Arctic Breeze cold out in this bitch.
Has it been a year now?
It's been over a year, because it was January when that happened.
Well, so,
by the time this comes out.
Well, RuPaul's Drag Race season 12 is out.
Oh, shit.
They announced all the queens.
They're only on season 12. I feel like that shit's been on
forever.
Oh, my God. Like, I feel like RuPaul started that show around the time Reagan got elected. And then, I don't know.
Well, people didn't really start really paying attention to it until it got on VH1, which was, what, 4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah. And I'm just looking at the photos of the queens, like, about 45% of them look like Trixie Mattel.
Yeah. Because you don't have to be good at makeup to put a bunch on.
And then some look like the love child of like, Eureka and Alaska.
I can't handle that because, like, okay, yeah. I remember back, like, when I was growing up on drag on YouTube, like, pre-fucking Drag Race or anything, like, drag has always been a composite. No, it's always been reductive, but at least they were being reductive of like giant movie stars like fucking Marilyn Monroe and like Elizabeth Taylor. Like, you're going to be like a copy of a mm-hmm. version of somebody who like mm-hmm. makes $2,000 at a weekend mm-hmm. in a gay bar. Mm-hmm.
Like, these queens are millionaires, you know, they're
Trixie's not that person, but I'm saying like someone who is season 7 and then like just kind of tours like a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, I'll be having a main greet later.
And that's the thing
on,
about too is like they're like they say they're imitating the people that have already been on the show, and in fact that's part of why they're cast and what they're talking about. Like, who do you most identify from the show before? Like, mm-hmm. what are you like? And like, I'm like this person from this season. I'm the Trixie Mattel of this season. I'm the Katya of this season.
And part of me is like, it feels very derivative at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't, I'm sure the show has a couple of tricks up its sleeve.
And we still, we watch it.
We'll be watching it.
I hope you guys have fun doing that shit.
I do, actually. Part of it is that I think, you know, in spite of everything, like drag queens have this big ego that's fun to see being popped, you know, in mm-hmm. some ways. And it's a way
doing it for 6 months and they think they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Geniuses. They have 2 flash drives mm-hmm. full of mixes that are just ready to take on the planet.
And part of it is like drag is about, you know, celebrating failure. It's about celebrating the mm-hmm. struggle that everyday life brings and transforming trash into treasure. It's about transcending
as you're a cisgendered male who hasn't had surgery.
Well, if you just want to be like trans and do drag because it's fun and it's art, no one's stopping you. But if you're only doing it because you want to be on TV and make a bunch of money, well, then there is a roadblock. But if you care about art, you can actually do whatever the fuck you want. But if you want RuPaul to kiss your hand and tell you you're pretty, then maybe you have a little bit more going on.
And imagine that, you know, any kind of reality TV show that doesn't include paint with all the, you know, crayons in the box is kind of mm-hmm. limiting color things for themselves.
Yeah. Well, like, why, if you're trans, why are you acting like this is the first time you've been rejected? Like, you went to fucking middle school, like, your principal hated you, your parents can't stand you, you didn't have any friends, like, everybody kicked you out, your brother-in-law won't call you, and you think RuPaul wants to be your friend. Like, when is the acceptance going to start? I'm still waiting, like, you probably are too. Like, what's the, I'm confused. I'm so confused.
You know, Carmen Carrera, who is on season 4, I believe, of Drag Race, she's calling RuPaul the new Hitler.
let me read that. For someone to consciously block the truth of trans performers and the progression of our movement, all because the public at large doesn't know any better, is just cruel and evil use of power. RuPaul is the Hitler, false prophet, antichrist of the LGBTQ community.
She literally sounds like one of those Mormon people with 18 wives saying that the apocalypse is going to come. And like like she sounds fucking crazy.
Well, it's my voice. My voice always sounds crazy. Well, Aurora Sexton responded, who is trans and a successful drag queen, who's been on the show. I love Aurora Sexton. Girl, this is bullshit. RuPaul is a self-aggrandized game show host. Hitler was a mass murderer who committed unspeakable evil. When you make statements like this, you put all of us 100 steps back. This doesn't help or change hearts and minds at World of Wonder, who produces a show, or RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm. And part of me is just like, you know, it's okay to have whatever feelings you have about the show. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, change the channel. Start your own show like the Boulay Brothers. They started their own series of drag queens. They included cisgendered women, assigned female at birth, drag queens, heterosexual drag queens, gay drag queens, trans drag queens, drag kings, and they're doing just fine. You know, they're traveling Europe right now with the Dragula tour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So part of me is like, you know, at a certain point, just start your own TV show. And some of these queens are loaded.
But people want to, you know, there's a sentiment of inclusion, and it's like, okay, if RuPaul's Drag Race is supposed to celebrate drag, then celebrate drag for what it really is. And a lot of people have that trans experience and showcase mm-hmm. that trans experience.
Sure.
And, you know, I think part of them is just like, they don't want to confuse people. Maybe they don't want to speak for trans people, but, you know, have them on the show, let them speak for themselves.
I agree. And at the same time,
and
you know,
it's like they have had trans people on the show. There's people that have been on the show. You know, there's
they were smart enough to shut up until after they got the check.
Well, you know, well,
they kept their syringes in their purse and they shut the fuck up. They knew how to play the game. If RuPaul doesn't like estrogen, you just pop your pills, you munch them real quiet, and then you shut up till you get the $50,000.
Well, they're on estrogen. They're taking them, whatever. But it's just like there's just something about tits. Because the girls have their asses injected with silicone. They have plastic. They have facial feminization surgery. They have all sorts. There's something about tits that RuPaul just does not want to see.
Okay. I don't know if it's RuPaul as much
even
as
Michelle
the producer.
Even Michelle Visage had her breasts taken out. She got a breast reduction, you know?
He just took one look
but
at her.
But do you feel
disgusting.
Like it's one get individual who's setting this, creating this wall, or is it a production company? Is it advertisers? Mm. I mean, there's a lot more going underneath the hood.
I'm so sad that we as a community of intelligent, educated artists are looking to reality show for validation. Like people who
because it makes
this,
money for artists, you know?
And I completely understand that. But these are people who have fucking master's degrees, people that could be professors, people that are educated and have given their whole lives to it. And then we're just going to hope like someone who does central casting out of L.A. that has a GED is going to like it doesn't make any fucking sense. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
In my day, you know, if you were a working drag queen or a performance artist or somebody who was kind of counterculture and involved in theater or music and experimental, the best thing you could hope for is to get into the Whitney Biennial.
So you get some kind of grant maybe or just a job at a museum.
And, but gigs were hard to come by and, and you know, people, all my art teachers, all the theater reviewers that ever looked at my work, all they said is like, you're good at getting money out of men's wallets. And part of it is like, you know, I think if there's no ecosystem in this for you, you have to create that ecosystem. Yeah. And some people don't understand how that works and RuPaul created that ecosystem for herself.
Yep.
So why are you waiting for RuPaul to come along and save your ass when you can be your own RuPaul?
Because they're waiting on RuPaul to tell them that they can be a cisgendered woman and do drag on TV and get $100,000 at the end and get a round of applause. Yeah. People are not brave enough to have their own balls, ovaries, or courage, whatever you want to call it, to go out and do. They want something to show them a path. They want approval from an adult. They want someone to hold their hand. Mm. Being an artist isn't like that, baby.
Now, what do you think? Why is RuPaul not wanting to do that? What do you think the motivation is there?
I think it's just, you know, money. I think a part of it is, you know.
Do you think she thinks that the trans person is going to come in and get all the gigs?
I think they're very clear. They feel like it wouldn't be. The criteria of their competition is that they want to see that transformation. And for trans people who do drag, that transformation isn't as drastic. When you see them out of drag versus on stage, for a lot of trans people, the way they look in their everyday lives is very close to what the way they look on stage. Mm-hmm. And so you can make that argument that you want to see that transformation in film, but you know, they're not making that criteria though. They're not describing when they see a person on stage, they're not saying, wow, you look so different than when we saw in your confessionals. That would be a great conversation to have about that. And part of me is like, you know, after seeing Camp Wanakiki and, you know, Cooking with Drag Queens and Dragula and all kinds of other projects, it's not really that important. So I'm not losing sweat about it either way. And I'm like, if RuPaul wants to, you know, make the show feel current and include all kinds of people as contestants, go for it. Mm-hmm. But if not, I mean, you know, I'm going to be more focused on giving people universal health care and access to education. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm not worried about what's on television. So,
well, like what I
representation matters.
What I also think about is like from the testimonials, a trans woman's not going to make, or a trans person period, is not going to make for the best testimonials. Cause you have to think about it. This is someone that has been in therapy and mental health care for a really long time to get everything they need. They're balanced. They know how to cope with shit. They have coping mechanisms.
Women?
Yeah. One of my best friends. Yeah. No, cause one of my best friends in high school started as something and then ended as Danielle. And like, you know, you have to be in therapy. You have to go through certain steps to get through hormones. Like you kind of have to do a little bit of mental adjustment to get anyone to believe that you are what you're telling them. And a gay guy that ain't got no mama and got left at a bus station is afraid of therapy because it's the government is going to be a really interesting testimonial. Okay. You want crazy people that haven't dealt with their shit or had to look at it.
Well, for
put a wig on it. It'll be more fun. Okay. Put a wig on it.
For every Aurora Sexton, there is a Carmen Carrera.
Whatever that means.
For every well-balanced, adjusted trans woman, there's one that's still struggling with a lot of their issues.
Does Aurora look as good as Carmen in a body stocking?
Oh, yes, she does.
Okay, that's great. That's great.
Honey, that pussy is tight, snatched, and ready to dance the
night
away.
She does a wonderful Melania Trump impersonation.
She makes Melania Trump look like dog food.
Oh, that's amazing. I used to have such a great Melania Trump chunk, but I quit doing it because people kind of got tired and moved on. But I love making fun of her. She's ripe material. She's fabulous.
How's your holiday, by the way?
My holiday. Well, when I got the witch's stew ready for my Santeria Christmas. yeah, no, there was
a... You celebrate a Santeria version of the holidays?
Well, I mean, everything I do is witchcraft, baby. I mean, I'm writing a broom all over. And I know it's strictly taboo. But yeah, no, for Christmas, I stayed in the city. I hung out with friends and I really got ready for like a wild, wild month of shows because from December 31st of New Year's Eve up to the end of this month, January, I've had like 34 shows.
Damn.
And like, that's why I sound like
you,
this. Darling.
You got, you brought a list.
Oh yeah. And then I brought all my shit for next month.
Well, this is only February.
This is only February. It's like, I don't know what today even is.
This looks like your schedule mm-hmm. looks like a bus terminal.
Oh, yeah. But I already have 10 shows ready for like next month on top of work, on top of classes, on top of being young and beautiful and having to moisturize. Like, you know, it's a regimen.
What is it that young, black, gay, talented?
Young, gifted, and black.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Nina Simone and Lorraine Hansberry. Lorraine Hansberry told us.
And then
yeah.
You're growing your hair out to look like Frederick Douglass.
My hair does anything, honestly. I haven't cut the shit in like a year and a half.
I know. I have photos of you with your hair cut so short. And now it's nice and full.
Yeah, no, I had it up in a ponytail, so now it's like straight and it's like down on my shoulders. If I wash this again, it'll go curly and it'll look very like a. I look like an Italian woman named Renata who sells fish on the street. Like I look. It's a whole side character. It's one of like my five personalities.
You were saying that you were born in the 1800s.
Early 1800s. Yeah.
And then your hairstyle and your handwriting. It's like you have kind of a thing like an, you know, Austrian composer thing.
Yeah,
there.
There's like a light Beethoven about everything. Deaf, impossible, difficult, rude. Yeah, it's all that shit. Like my cigarettes, my hair, my handwriting, it's all very 1812, like pre-Illinois being a state.
It's funny the way that we think about like classical musicians as all having the same temperament and personality.
But they do.
Because we see those little white plastic statues that mm-hmm. sit on top of pianos and we think that Beethoven mm-hmm. was exactly the same kind of person as Mozart, as Bach, as Schumann. Yeah. And they were all, you know, very different
and lived in
people.
Completely different times. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're talking about 200 year span of time. Cause like I trained to be an opera singer for 7.5 years and I can't speak on the, the personality types of composers because they were dead by the time I got around to them. Believe me, I had a couple questions for Mozart. He was asking me to do some shit I didn't like. I had some questions. Why can't I breathe here? Things like that. But, conductors all have a very similar personality type. So do voice teachers and so do singers.
Oh, those, Maria Callas.
That's why I'm good at stand-up, because I came with that Maria Callas crazy confidence. Because we firmly believe that God tapped us on the shoulder and he didn't tap you, and we have a discipline and a gift, and you just watch and learn, motherfucker. Like I can do something you can't. I'm louder than everyone you've ever met without a microphone. Fuck with me. Like, it's very that. It's very that. There are,
it's powerful, right?
Yeah. There are interviews of Maria Callas in the 50s, like 30 years old, saying, oh, darling, I have no rivals. Until my colleagues do what I do as I do it, I have no rivals. I have no competition. What are you talking about? And that's how you have to feel about yourself.
A true diva.
Whatever you give away to the public, whether it's art, whether it's performance, whether it's music, if you can't give it away with love, how are they supposed to accept it with love?
But I think part of it is like, I wonder in, you know, 500 or 1,000 years from now, are people in the future, if we're still alive,
we won't,
as humanity, if we are, will
we
they
will be the people that have those stockpiles in those bunkers, they're gonna
President Bernie Sanders is gonna fix everything.
I am very interested to see the kind of variety show the cockroaches put on. I like, because they're all that's gonna be left.
If we're around, are we gonna be misunderstanding like reality today? And you know, I mean, are we going to be start like people confusing us for each other or thinking us as one type of person? The way we think about like classical music composers.
Definitely. The stereotypes exist so that way we can shrink down our culture types and our experiences and make them all palatable. That's why there's about two different ways to be a gay guy. There are certain expectations you immediately have of a woman, no matter what she comes from or how old she is. We shrink these things down so we can handle our little lives. So we're not very smart. Like, just as people, we aren't.
Well, we learn by archetypes, you know? So the hero of 1,000 faces, Joseph Campbell, you know, said, it's like, the reason that we are attracted to these type of stories is because our brains are hardwired to learn from them. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to carry information from generation to generation, we attach them to the hero myth. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, you know, what's interesting about these playwrights, I'm thinking of like Edward Albee, Tennessee Williams, and Terrence McNally, and the guy who wrote
the boys in the band. coming soon to Netflix.
It's coming to Netflix, the Ryan Murphy production of it, mm-hmm. with all the A-listers from Hollywood portraying this film, this play that was done a year before the Stonewall riots, that mm-hmm. showed how gay men were at a time, a very critical time in history, and how they socialized with each other, and how much self-loathing and fighting, and in some ways, you know, forgiveness that they had of each other, despite their very, very strong internalized homophobia and mm-hmm. velvet rage that they had.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the movie works, because it's so hard to do a big scale ensemble film with all stars, because everyone wants to be the cheese, you know? No, it's very hard.
Well, Jim Parsons plays Harold, the angry mm-hmm. Fairy Jew who has to smoke a little pot before he gets out into the world. Mm. So I'm curious to see that'll look like.
Then they did it it's the same people that did the play on, they did a revival of the mm-hmm. play on Broadway. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's Jim Parsons, Zachary Kinno, Matt Bomer, Charlie Carver, Andrew and Alice, and Tuck Watkins. So
I've heard of 1.5 of those people.
Oh, come on. Certainly you've heard of Jim Parsons.
Jim and Matt Bomer are the only ones I know.
Zachary Quinto played Spock. He was also in Hero.
What the fuck is Spock in the Star Trek movie?
I don't know what the fuck a Star Trek is.
Television, what is that?
Andrew Reynolds was in Book of Mormon. And then that TV show, was it Modern Family? Happy Family?
Is he even gay, or does he just keep playing
gay? He's gay, and he's also dating Tuck Watkins.
I don't know what that means.
He was on Desperate Housewives. He was one of the gay couples on Desperate Housewives.
You're asking me to remember shit from third grade. I'm sorry. I'm like, Desperate Housewives was so long.
He was
long
also David on ago. One Life to Live in the 90s. He was lovers with Dorian Lord. You don't remember that?
I know.
Oh, girl. Come on.
You got a phone? Use your Wikipedia, honey. I'm Google it.
I'm watching Katharine Hepburn movies. I'm watching Lion in Winter with Peter O'Toole.
What's Katharine Hepburn?
Oh, I love that. Oh. This necklace. Shall I wear it? Shall I dangle it from my nipples?
Yes,
or will it shock the children?
Every line that she says in that movie is a fucking classic. When Peter O'Toole says to Catherine, age has done, no, she said, he says, time has done nothing but wrinkle you. And she says, and barely that. I've given you 6 daughters, 5 sons, and 32 years of connubial bliss. How am I possible? That's so funny. Or like at the end when he's like, you know, you have to go back to prison now. I'm going to have to send you back on the ship. Mm-hmm. And she starts smiling. He's like, after all we've been through, you can still smile. And she says, laugh does how I register despair. It's so dramatic, and she won an Oscar, but her accent makes everything she say hilarious. It's 11:32 and we're all barbarians. Like everything she says, like I feel like she's gonna turn around in the cave mm-hmm. and say the calla lilies are in bloom again. Like I just everything
it's a lovely
she says,
blossom.
I carried them on my wedding day, well, you know, and now I have them here.
That was a comeback movie for her, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly. She had not made a movie in quite some time.
Well,
right,
she had made a movie with Spencer Tracy the year before, and then he died. Mm-hmm. And like, homegirl's real depressed and not leaving her house because, mm-hmm. like, you're the other woman, your boyfriend dies, but you can't grieve in public because you lied about
really
being
a boyfriend
with him.
Because yeah. it's not really, because like, you're really a lesbian, he was really gay. Isn't that how it was?
I think they really loved each other. Okay. I think they might have both been bisexual, mm-hmm. but like, I don't know. They had such a complicated marriage. Well, not marriage, excuse me. He had such a complicated marriage. They had such a complicated love.
Because he was Catholic,
love.
And so they wouldn't get divorced.
And then also, his son was like deaf or something, so if he divorced his wife, like how was she gonna take care of the kid, because no money, like and then he would have to quit his career to have a deaf baby. Fuck that, it was the 40s, like, you know, it was too much going on. But it was sort of like emotional comeback for her, because like she was quite depressed and could have like not left her house. But then her and Barbara Streisand both won the Oscar. They tied that year. It was amazing. It was a moment. That's gay history I care about.
What did Barbara win for
Funny Girl.
Funny Girl. So then she it was a tie for best actress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the very few times I've ever had a tie. 1968. Wow.
And Lion in Winter. She played Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Or as Charles Pierce used to say, Eleanor of Roosevelt. Because she was a dyke. Can I just do this one last Charles Pierce joke and then we can go into the rest
of
the
Yeah, Charles okay. Pierce.
Which we miss him. He was the only drag queen who ever fucking did Eleanor Roosevelt because all drag queens want to be pretty. But like he wanted to be Eleanor Roosevelt, which was so smart. And he said, Franklin, if you can have a mistress, so can I. I love that shit. I love just like old lesbian from 1882.
You know, there was his assistant, Frederick. He put out a book of Charles Pierce and it was on his show. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Told us all about like Charles Pierce's life. Amazing life.
And he just started in, like, had a scare at the hospital. In the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, whoever would have thought? We always think like gay guys exist out of comedy. No, he did stand up in a fucking suit jacket doing his female characters in straight bars in the 50s. Mm-hmm.
We dressed as a man, but he also did it as a queen.
Yeah, later on, but he built that in a couple years later. Yeah. He learned how to entertain a joke, entertain an audience, and write a joke in a suit beforehand.
For you.
Oh, honey, put me in a wig and I'm losing my mind. I already
with hair like that, you don't need
a wig. Already look like my grandmother with a little bit of lipstick on. Put me in a big 50s wig. It's all over.
I think we have a new look for you.
It could happen. Let's do it.
Let's have a little play date where we dress up.
Oh, God.
We'll all become beautiful women.
I mean, I've been one. I don't know about you two fuckers, but
you're a beautiful woman every day. So the Kirk Frederick, he just had a scare in the hospital, but he's doing better.
Good.
And
Charles Pierce's former assistant.
We're about to explain. Mm-hmm. This show is 2320 on our website, feastoffun.com. You can listen to the incredible life of male actress Charles Pierce. Mm-hmm. Best known for doing impeccable impersonations as Betty Davis and of course the other one.
What's that? He would do Betty Davis, he would do Tallulah, he would Tallulah do Mae Bankhead, West, he would do Katherine Hepburn. He was so well known for his Betty Davis. Oh yeah, he would do Joan too. He was so well known for his Betty Davis that like by like the end of his career, he had stretched his Betty Davis impersonation into like a 25-minute chunk and he like saved it for the end of his act. He would do like three other characters, he'd sing, he'd do all this stuff, but you came to him to see Betty Davis and he made it almost half of his show. That's so cool.
And so Betty, he was known to be always saying, write that down when something funny happened. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Frederick, who was by his side for most of his life, wrote a lot of funny things down and then wrote this amazing book about Charles Pierce's life.
And Betty came and saw his performance, and I forget what
Betty?
Yeah, Betty Davis saw his performance. And
that's right. Yeah.
He told us what she said on the show, but I forget what it was. You'll have to listen to it.
Yeah, it's really quite wonderful. So search. If you guys need help finding it, just send us an email at mail@feastoffun.com, honey.
The Olympics are coming up in Tokyo, the 2020 Olympics. And, you know, every year we hear about the Olympic Village and how horny all the athletes are.
Because they don't fuck.
Well, because they're young and they do fuck. They give out condoms, thousands of condoms.
Because the competitions make them... Harney.
Well, I just figured it's because they've been training 6 days a week since they got their first period. So it's like, oh my God, another teenager. Sick of him. Like,
well, basically, you know, especially after you've done your sport, you're just like, time to celebrate. Let's do this thing. And so in Tokyo, they're trying to be, they basically build this Olympic Village. And so they're trying to be eco conscious. So they made the beds out of cardboard. And so people are worried that the Olympians are going to break these beds.
They will.
But they said, you know, we put them through a great test. They've dropped weights on it and it should support 440 pounds. Okay. And they said, as long as they stick to just two people in the bed, they should be strong enough to support the load.
Listen, I feel like if you have trained for 10 years to go to an Olympic competition, you deserve to have a three-way with a bunch of fat people, and you should be able to do it in your own bed. So
do it on the floor.
You've earned the sex that you want to have, and they should have tried a little harder. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been
us.
To an orgy like with more than 10 people at?
I've never been to an orgy with more than two people. It's called sex.
Back in the day, like before, like, you know, Grindr and Scruff and all that stuff was... people would just put an ad and be like, hey, come to my house. I have a basement. And I went to one, I think it was about 30 people in a room in the basement. And to me, it was like instead of hooking up with one person at a time, it was like hooking up with 32 people at a time. And you would see them having sex with each other. Mostly you were just kind of there going, wow, that's a lot of sex I'm seeing right in front of my face. And
you were a gawker.
I was gawking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was there to see what the hell was going on. It was at an S&M bed and breakfast down the street from where we live. And I think that bed and breakfast is still there, and they have like sex parties there, but not to the scale of what I saw.
If I saw anything like that, I would burst into tears like an 11-year-old virgin.
Really?
I would just. I'm too Southern
Baptist. You couldn't do a group scene?
The I'm point too I'm making.
Oh, look that. At you clutching your pearls. I couldn't.
Oh my God.
The point I'm making is if you have quite a number of people having sex, the bed is probably not going to be happening anyways.
Yeah.
They're going to be standing anyways. Mm. So the Olympic people are pretty smart, right? Okay. They know that if there's a group orgy, they're going to be using their feet, not the sack.
Well, so when they had the London Olympics in 2012, they gave out 150,000 condoms.
Shit.
Now, when it was 4 years later in Rio, they gave out 450,000
condoms. Because Brazilians are hotter.
You know? So people dicks. Are going to have some hot
and the butts.
So that works out to about 42 condoms per Olympian. Yeah. Mm. And so Tokyo officials say they haven't decided how many condoms they're going to give out, but they said it's probably going to be more like the London range.
I would imagine that they want to keep it to like number, just to not be used, not to be wasteful, because like, you know, we do want to be eco-friendly in how we design this shit. And like, you know, like latex and shit's not great for the environment. So keep it to what they're going to use. Give them five.
Do they have biodegradable condoms?
I haven't used one in 3 years. I have no idea.
Aren't all condoms biodegradable because they're made out of latex?
Is latex biodegradable?
I think it is.
I went to Catholic school. I don't know about science. I went to school in an Ursuline convent. I have no fucking idea how science happens. No clue.
So, well, did you see the Pope get like manhandled? Wait,
before we get to that, let's talk about Utah's condoms.
Oh, well, what happened in Utah?
Honey, the part, you know, this, I love it when they're trying to reduce HIV infections, the Department of Public Health in the state of Utah, created their own brand of condoms with slogans on them to encourage people to explore Utah's caves. That's what it says on it. With condoms. And so they wrote things like SL, Salt Lake, Utah, slut. Don't go bare, use your condoms. A diagnosis doesn't define you. Enjoy your mountain and toss the Jell-O salad and put your arch into it. So I guess there was a public outcry, which is really unfortunate. And they're destroying all the packaging for provocative Utah-themed messages on thousands of condoms.
Well, you know, Utah is very backwards, but I have to commend them on that they just passed legislation, I think, to become the 19th state that has outlawed gay conversion therapy for minors. Oh, wow. Which I think is, you know, which is...
Wait till your wife sends you.
You know, exactly. That's exactly. You know, and I think it's super important because we've had at least three people who were from Utah or were Mormon that had gone through gay conversion therapy. On this podcast, yes. Talking about it. And when you think about this, you know, it's not just sending your kid to like some kind of psychologist talking about your problems. It's physical torture. One person that we talked to, they were given a saline, like some kind of injection or whatever, while they were watching gay porn to make them vomit. Another person was given electroshock treatment. Another person was raped by their counselor. So it's, you know, when we talk about this gay conversion therapy, it's really, you're really talking many times torture. And so it's great to see that the people as backwards as Utah can be to come forward and be like, this needs to change.
And part of it is, you know, it's like, it's great for consenting adults to do all kinds of things sexually with each other. This is imposing that on a child. You know, it's like if you go to IML, they're electrocuting their testicles. They're putting saline solution into their nuts, or you know, they're doing other things. But this is a very different thing than imposing that on somebody else. And part of it is also it's tying to discourage and destroy your sexual identity. And that just causes all kinds of psychological harm that people don't ever really recover from.
No, and then also, I would imagine that putting like a lot of like physically negative and like emotionally negative situations, emotional connotations with like normal sex situations that are already in your mind, those are going to make you not gay, but that could make you fucking predator real easy. Like, I could see that. Like, it'll do something to you. Like, you'll fuck up something in their sexuality. Like, it's not going to do what you want it to. But yeah, you're going to injure something.
So, along with Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina-scented candles, these condoms are now on eBay, and a set of 13 is going for $250. Sorry.
How much?
$250.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
So if anyone in Utah wants to use a condom and wants to wait 3 days for it to be mailed to your home.
Very expensive.
Well, you can get just regular old condoms without the, you know, the greatest sex on earth or slut written on them. Or.
Do you remember on New Year's Eve, the Pope, the woman grabbed the Pope and he like swatted her away. Like, don't grab me.
No, but that? That's beautiful. I love that.
It made the it went viral. Well, now he, some woman, a nun who was like very happy to see him. He said to her, I'll give you a kiss. But you must stay calm. Don't bite. And she, I guess she didn't bite.
Not everyone's a fucking hugger. Like, you know, not everybody wants to be your friend. I'm not a real big toucher. Like, and I, like...
Well, yeah, you won't even go to the orgy.
No, and, like, the thing is, I really feel like I am proud of the Pope in that moment, and I feel like everyone should be a lot more comfortable telling people what their physical boundaries are and not. And I, because people are just real comfortable, and I make it real weird, make them look like the asshole. Because, like, I am not comfortable with you. Like, I don't like when people stand behind me and stay there. You don't need to tap me on the shoulder from behind me. You don't need to be anywhere where I can't see you, because I got molested a lot, and I'll tell you. I'll look you right in the eye and be like, yeah, no, I think I got touched when I was 8 by somebody who looks just like you. Do you not want to touch me? Like, and then they'll get all clammy and leave, and I'm like, yeah, no, you're a freak. You can leave now whenever you want. Yeah, you're the asshole.
How should I handle this situation? Because I'm not as much a hugger as my husband is. Fausto always is hugging people, and so they're like, he'll hug them, and it's just like, I don't know this person.
You
and
introduce first. You do a handshake. Oh, really? You start. You start with the handshake, and then you can close up the hug. Your order's fucked up.
What about like when you say goodbye? That's the thing. You know what I mean? When you've had a conversation with them, and then he goes to give them a hug. And
I'm right like, here, you know. You can talk to me.
Shh.
Here's the hand.
Back.
I'm asking Matt how I ask him Matt. Situation.
So, like, it's a leaving situation, and you don't want to hug them?
I'm not. Yes. I don't want to hug them.
Okay.
He's hugged them already, though. And so it's weird because they expect me to hug them, too. Like, it's a two for one.
What I would say is that then when you're leaving and stuff, you just need to not be as physically close to the person as he is. Because like if you're just like a step further away from them, a hug is harder to do, and you're already given the body language of like, hey, I'm leaving, I'm saying bye, it was really nice to see you, but like I'm closer to the door than I am to your ass.
I will try that.
Yeah Because if the whole thing is like, it's why like the way I relate to it is like no one ever gives me advice. No one ever says, oh, you should do this with that joke, because my entire body language says, don't get close to me, I'm not your friend, back the fuck up. I'm no, everything about me is already closed off, so you can't get there's
but
no,
you're
why,
the one,
no
hold on a second. But you're one sometimes initiating hugs with me when you're arriving or leaving. Like today.
Yeah. I've known you since I was 19 years old. I'll hug you. I'm not hugging a fucking stranger.
You're making me sound like I'm 100 years old.
No, well, 19 years, like 3 years. Like I've known you for years. Like I've known you for a while. So like I feel very comfortable hugging you. Sure. But if you're the new manager, like a comedy club, I've been, hi. Oh, your name is this?
I do notice
how
that.
How are you?
That like, some heterosexual men, cisgendered men, they want to hug you because they want to show you that they're
not weird with you being gay.
Yes.
My thing is, I'm the opposite. If I'm meeting like a straight guy who's like over 40 for the first time, I'm incredibly distant because I don't want to touch him on accident and then find out he's from the same town I am and I get a black eye. You know, I don't need to find out who got raised the same way I did on accident. Yeah. I don't. So I keep my distance. I do.
When I was a kid, my father took us to Spain to meet some of his long distant relatives. And there, you know, some of them were like,
their last name was literally Conquistador. It was a moment.
We're overjoyed to see us. And they were really overjoyed. You know, they were like, oh, wow. I was wondered what, you know, our relatives in the Americas looked like, you know. And the little girl, when it was time to leave, because we spent a couple days visiting with them, mm-hmm. the little girl, I don't even remember her name, she didn't want to say goodbye because mm-hmm. she was so heartbroken because she understood Aww. That she would never see us again. Mm-hmm. But the old grandpa guy, I don't know, remember his name, he gave me a kiss on one cheek, on the other cheek, mm-hmm. and on the lips. Oh. And I was like, I'm 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like,
you were cute though.
And I was like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? I was mm-hmm. freaking out. Mm-hmm. I was just
that's
like,
weird. But that's, your whole family's
that's
weird.
European.
That's Latin.
Your
that's
dad
a, that's your
first cousin.
Okay.
His dad's first
so
wife.
So did Rudy Giuliani.
Giuliani married his first cousin.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, we're all learning shit today.
But part of it is like, and in terms of like, you know, Latin American culture mm-hmm. or versus European Spanish mm-hmm. culture,
yeah.
There's a notion of a difference, literally.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, it was like, we're very affectionate. And part of it is just, you know, we have just different ways to relate to people. Mm-hmm. So when you're interacting with somebody who you just met, mm-hmm. part of it is you have every right to refuse a hug if somebody wants to hug you. Mm-hmm. And you can do things like Oprah Winfrey does, which is, you know, give them the Oprah hug.
What's the Oprah hug?
You when they come Stand towards out. You, you yeah. grab their hands and you kind of like you shake them. It
yeah, you're just like I see you in power. This moment, sister. Yes, exactly. Like yeah, that
because she doesn't want to hug no. people because she I guess she hugged Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey hugged her before mm-hmm. and she was wearing a white outfit and Mariah's makeup got all over yeah. her white outfit, so she doesn't want people touching.
Yeah, her. Yeah, and I don't know. There are some comedians I know that just like don't do meet and greets and won't hug you because they're allergic to shit. They don't know what perfume you have on. They don't know what pets you have. They're allergic to everything. There's a comedian named Lunel who's been like just a fixture in this country on the road since the 90s and like a lot of movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she like she's hilarious. She's the nicest person on Twitter and on her Instagram. She can't touch you. She cannot touch you because her eye will swell up. She'll have to cancel the rest of her weekend. She has to get a $3,000 EpiPen. Can't do it. Can't do it.
EpiPens are that expensive? Tough.
Oh, yeah. They keep getting more expensive every fucking year. Mm. They went from like $800 to $1,200 and it just goes up and up.
Oh, wow.
I'm so grateful I don't know that I'm allergic to anything so the bee can just kill me. Like, I don't want to know.
You've never been stung by a bee?
No, you have to go outside for that.
I'm as an a child, you're an indoor you didn't go outside?
Oh, no, I did a lot when I was a kid. That's why there are very few pictures of me as a child. I was dark. There are like three pictures of me that are like brown. And then they're like, I think Matt should read more.
And they also shaved your head so you yeah. wouldn't see your
so the, my hair texture wouldn't cut. I did not know what color or texture my hair was till I was 19. Really didn't know.
Wow.
I had no fucking clue. Shaved my head every week like I was in Auschwitz or something, like boy with the striped pajamas.
So when you first grew out your hair, what was your reaction to that?
Oh, that's literally every time I look in the mirror, I feel like I'm still discovering shit. Like, oh, so it's going to
like,
do that.
Run your hair through it all the time and you're like...
Hands through your hair.
Because it is glorious hair.
It is glorious hair. I'm not so much obsessed with the hair itself. I do go downtown once a week and I do throw my hat in the air like Mary Tyler Moore. Mm. My beanie, my silk scarf, my head wrap, whatever's on top of it. that's the moment. But yeah, no, I'm just always sort of like confused by it because I can do anything with it. Mm-hmm. I can do anything with it. On the topic of appearances, though, I was talking about this with a friend. I feel like I only know what I look like really when I have on makeup because I put everything there. Like, that's when I feel like I know what I look like. Like this, I could be a fucking blob. I don't know. Like, I could be a bucket of sand wearing a shirt with buttons on it right now. Like, I could look like anything. But when I put the eyelashes on, the lipstick, and the lip liner, we know who it is.
Did you hear about your buddy, Chasen Buttigieg, canceled a fundraiser at a gay bar because it had a stripper pole in it?
20 minutes before the event was starting, so he must have been either outside in his limousine or at another club nearby.
He was sleeping in the parking lot of community college.
And he was like, is the stripper pole down? No, well, then we're going someplace else.
Okay, so you're telling me that they're both like 34 and 37 years old and never went to a fucking gay bar before today? They all have stripper poles. It's too good for you now. You're gay in public, you're married, the government and your mother knows that you suck dick, and you can't go into a bar that has a stripper pole on it. What the fuck kind of Republican abating appeasing shit is that?
Well, they feel like if they did that and there's photos of it, the Republicans would use that to like tear them apart. Meanwhile, we have a first lady in the White House who's basically mm-hmm. naked.
Well, there's photos of her mm-hmm. on a stripper pole, yeah. you know, so it's like
Chasten and Pete Buttigieg are out gay men in America. As an out gay man in America in 2020, wouldn't you go to a gay bar every now and then? Isn't that like kind of the privilege of having a fucking right and being able to be gay and have your job? Like, what did we fight for these rights for? How is he going to be an example, Chasten and Pete, be these examples of gay leadership? And from Harvey Milk to now, we've done all this work for you to be afraid to be seen in public in the spaces that we fought to have? What the fuck kind of example are you to a 13-year-old that's watching C-SPAN and thinking, maybe I'm going to be a politician one day? Oh, guess I have to be ashamed of myself and still lie.
Well, it looks like he's going down in the polls.
It's bullshit. He's going down on a singular lot of people. he's going to have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Pete Buttigieg will be a darling, like, Secretary of the Treasury in 2034. But he's not very front-facing. He's not ready to be a key holder at Hot Topic. He's not ready to be a beer girl at a fucking bar. Like, he's not front-facing. He's not customer service. Neither of them are.
Well, it seems like Bernie Sanders is going to be... taking over the next Iowa.
I hope.
He's leading.
He's leading.
I've wanted a nice Jewish boy for so long. Aww. I really have been holding out for a good rabbi or, you know, adjacent.
part of it is that, you know, this idea of like centrism or, you know, assimilationist or gays like that are worrying that if we're too outrageous or too wild or too sexual, that they won't love us and they won't appreciate us.
They're already disgusted with you. Okay. Yeah. People need to get that out of their head. There's no way for them to get over the fact that you're gay or get over the fact that you're black or get over the fact that you grew up in a trailer park or get over the fact of whatever you think's wrong with you. They're already disgusted. They are already think you're tainted. Have fun.
And equality is not a PR battle,
no.
But it's certainly easier to have all kinds of people working for the same goal. And certainly I respect their viewpoints. It's not a viewpoint that I hold. And it's not something that I think is particularly effective, but, you know, it takes a village to make the world a better place. And so if he wants to think that way and work that way, more power to him. I just don't think he's not going to be the Democratic candidate. He's not likely to be the president of the United States at this point.
He doesn't have the balls.
But he does keep rich white gay men engaged in the political process, which is very important.
And I think that's, it is good, you know. I mean, he's adorable. You know, Pete Buttigieg, regardless of how you feel about his politics, he's like, he reminds me of one of those Disney characters.
No,
he reminds me of an adorable, like, mole, you know.
He should be underground. I support this.
He kind of has nose comes up. There's there's a Disney character that looks exactly like
Pete Buttigieg. Like a birth defect, kind of?
No.
Oh, because that's what I see.
He has, you know, kind of this chipmunk squirrel face. He looks like one of the Chippendales.
Oh, so you're a furry. Okay, that's what we're into now. Okay, you just want to put a tail on his
ass. You can see him being a character in one of the Winnie the Pooh things, you know? And he's like, I just want to be centrist. That's all.
I can't deal with this whole centrism shit. I really, really can't.
We know you're as radical as they come.
Well, I mean, listen, all you're getting is closer to the center of power, so that way they can fucking steal the four pennies you have left to your name. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. It's a scam. They're lying.
Well, and certainly, so I think things are going to be okay, though. I think right now, if you see any kind of divisive stuff on Facebook or Twitter,
share it.
Think about it this way. Tag me on it. But think about it this way. It's like a lot of that stuff is those tech companies are shitting their pants because the two of the top four front runners in the Democratic candidates of the next U.S. election have vowed to split up these giant multinational corporations.
That's why they all love Trump so much, because Twitter makes so much money off of his orange ass. Mm. Twitter makes so much money off his Oompa Loompa ass. It's ridiculous.
And Facebook too, right?
Ridiculous. Yeah, they're just lining their pockets while democracy falls apart and they live in Silicon Valley and have an Asian wife that had a miscarriage 4 years ago, and I was supposed to cry about that when you did a Facebook Live over at Zuckerberg. Like, they all just pretend to be people and they're not. They pretend to be people for us and try and show us this little bit of their lives, but they make decisions like monsters. They make decisions like people who don't have any interest in anyone's personal lives, not even their own.
Jeff Bezos, let's get to Jeff Bezos' dick pics, but tell
he
people.
He has dick pics out?
Hold on a second. We'll get to the second. Wait for a second. We have to tell people that Matt Brown is going to be taking no prisoners at our comedy clubs in Chicago area in February.
Near you. Oh, yeah, yeah. I will be beating bitches' asses all over this city. so far in February. On February 1st, it's going to be at Comedy Bar at 11 p.m. February 2nd, I'm going to be at Crowd Theater at 7 p.m. February 5th, I'm going to be at the Store on Halsted at 8 p.m. February 6th at 9:30, I'm going to be at Liars Club, which is a music venue. I'm going to be doing like 30 minutes with bands. I'll feel like a real rock and roll bitch. February 11th, I'm going to be doing Chicago Underground Comedy at 9 p.m. February 12th, I'm going to be at the Juice Box Theater headlining. On February 15th at 11 p.m., I'm back at Comedy Bar. And on February 22nd, I'm going to be doing another show at the Store on Halsted. This is all that I even have right now, and there's more shows that are going to be happening. If you follow me on Matt Brown Comic on Instagram, I post all my shows and every the crazy thing that I'm doing on my stories there.
Girl, it's like it sounds like a bus schedule. You
this
know?
Is actually light to me because I'm used to doing I'm used to doing seven shows a weekend as the house host at Comedy Bar. It's seven shows.
I'm so glad you
Friday
got that gig.
That has been an amazing thing to do all this month of January from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's seven shows, and I host every single show. Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live has come through while we've here. Vincent Bryant, Drew Freeze, Ben Moore, like a bunch of different headliners that work all over the country.
And Comedy Bar is in the process of starting a YouTube channel where they're going to be posting all this video so people can actually see Matt Brown in action.
Oh yeah they're doing some YouTube stuff over there. They're doing some podcast possibilities that could be happening. Like, everyone's trying to do everything. Everyone wants to get like Feast of Fun. Everybody wants to be revolutionary.
I know. And Paris Hilton's doing it.
Oh god. Well, it's better than her trying to write another book. That might kill her.
You know, you think of these millionaires would just, you know, go to the French Riviera and order a plate of sushi and a cocktail and call it a day.
Please. The money has to keep coming in.
Just, you show know, me a nice
invest in something.
It's expensive to be rich.
It is, because that's my thing. It's about the lifestyle you get sucked into. Mm-hmm. If you can manage to make a bunch of money and then just live in a shitty two-bedroom house in North Hollywood, not tell anybody anything, that's the secret. Mm. Hide your money. Hide your money from all your friends, your family, and your boyfriend.
So here's the thing with Jeff Bezos.
Oh, yes,
so
Jeffrey.
He had an affair with another woman, which caused the split, right? And Jeff Bezos is the owner of Amazon. He's one of the world's wealthiest men.
He owns the Amazon rainforest.
And is one of the most vocal, wealthy critics of Donald Trump with the Washington Post. But Jeff Bezos is, make no mistakes, he's an oligarch too.
So let's talk about his dick.
So he, I guess the Saudi crown prince, they hung out and the Saudi crown prince said, hey, add me on one of those chatting apps. What was it?
It was WhatsApp. They were chatting WhatsApp. Yeah. He sends him a file, right? And I guess he downloaded it or he opened it or something. Mm-hmm. It was within like seconds, like all like a bunch of information from his phone was sent out.
Mm-hmm. And among that information was possibly photos of his dick to his mistress that are now in the hands of the National Enquirer, who is a media platform that is supporting Trump.
So his wife took the first half of his money and the Enquirer is going to get the rest of it. And then the Enquirer is going to take $400 million and turn themselves into the Partisan Review. They're going to be a good, serious literature publication by the end.
I liked the, you know, the tabloid press when they were more talking about Bat Boy and crazy like, shit.
The alien abductions and shit. Do you remember that Joan Rivers joke? She's like, why don't aliens ever land anywhere intelligent? She's like, you've never seen an alien land a disc at fucking Vassar. It's always like some like hillbillies with like a six pack of Coors. Mm-hmm. But like, this is the truth.
But I think in many ways it probably still serves the same function as it did in the past, is to occupy the minds of people so that they don't become occupied with other things, like revolution.
Yeah.
Well, part of it is like, you know, in the past we didn't have science, you know, so when people had a phenomena they couldn't explain, they would assign it to angels. And then science came along, and now they assign it to aliens.
Yeah, ancient aliens, specifically.
Ancient aliens.
Yeah. Which I think my father might be the only black ancient alien, because where the fuck else would this forehead come from? Oh, my God. My head goes all the way back. Like, we're gray aliens.
Wait till you start losing your hair.
Oh, who says I haven't? Who says I haven't? I don't know.
You're going to look like Jeff Bezos soon.
I'm going to look like a monk. No dick, no talking.
Do you think Jeff Bezos' dick looks like his head?
His dick could not be good. His dick could not be remotely good.
Because he's too rich?
If anything in you needs to make that much money, you couldn't be able to fuck anybody well. You know? Because guys that have really big, good dicks never have, like, jobs or care. Because someone will just feed them and take the dick and be happy. But if you need to go make $100 billion, you couldn't fuck the puddle in a sidewalk. Like, you could not fuck the crack in the sidewalk. Couldn't fuck a mud puddle. Couldn't do shit for nobody. I really feel that deep, deep, deep in my heart.
I just don't know why Jeff Bezos, who's a billionaire, why don't you just, you know, post your dick pics on the internet, like on Grindr, Scruff or whatever, and call it a day?
Or why don't you, if you're Jeff Bezos, if your mistress wants to see your dick, privately fly her to the roof of the hotel where you're at, have her like secretly locked in through a back hallway, then she can stare at your dick, and then you can send her back to Boise, Idaho where you got her. Yeah,
you have a ton of money.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Waste fucking $100,000 on a 5-second a look at it. Mm. And then just move on.
I just don't know what it would be like to be married to somebody with that much power and money.
I imagine he hits you and you get over it.
I'm going to go visit my mother in the Riviera or something. Yeah.
Cause like when you have that much money in this world, like,
would you stay married to Jeff Bezos if he was abusive, but he gave you a ton of money?
I would stay. My standards are so low. Oh my God. I grew up in a trailer park. I've never had a fucking dollar. I dated a guy for almost a year who didn't know how to read. Oh, please sign me the fuck up. Sign me the fuck up. Give me a black eye and give me a black card.
That's one of the women in my family. They're all like, you know, and I hear this from a lot of women actually more than gay men or anybody else. They're like, I am so sick and tired. I'm going to like a gold digger's website and becoming a kept woman.
No, because gay guys start gold digging. They don't end there the way women who are 41 think they can. Oh, could you imagine being that delusional? I want to sell my C-section scar pussy. That's so funny to me. That just gives me the giggles.
Listen, you know, it's a nice job if you can get it. But I don't know. Part of me is like, if you're dating people because of their financial income or whatever, you're not going to be happy.
No,
it's not going to be a relationship that's going to compliment you in any way.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I've dated rich guys and they're just so confused all the time at everything I say and do and talk about. Like, it's just like, what's going on?
I work with a lot of wealthy people all the time and it's like they're usually struggling with things like numbers and letters and information.
Just, you know, basics.
Electricity.
Yeah.
Where does water come from?
Really, really rich people and really, really poor people act the same way and spend money the same way. I really do notice that because they both spend money like it doesn't matter because you've either never had anything, so just fucking burn it to the wind, or you're always going to have it, so do whatever you want.
Rich people, though, a lot of times they want to tell you about how they saved like 50 cents on something, or I got all of this and it was only like $5.30, because they make it seem, though, to you, because they want you to understand that if you nickel and dime everything in your life, eventually you will be as rich as they am who inherited all of their wealth.
Yeah. You know? Like,
that's mostly a blog.
If you work 3 minimum wage jobs and never take a vacation, one of your 7 children will be able to go to community college. That's the dream that we're selling people. That's the fucking dream. And then saying that that's progress and equality.
Well, part of it is just, I think, you know, people have a general misunderstanding of numbers and math, and they don't understand that, you know, we want to live in a better world that where everybody has access to healthcare and education and housing. And some of this stuff is really up for grabs right now. And we want to make things available to everybody. So everyone's, what's going on there?
Why does Janet Jackson look like Genghis Khan? What is up with her eyelift? Did she take?
She looks like Eartha Kitt.
She took over Mongolia.
She's like, look at her eyelift. Michael Jackson's brother. You think that the grave could hold me back? You'd be wrong.
Oh my God.
Dead wrong.
I just opened up Facebook and somebody's like, look at Janet Jackson's new look. She's wearing a turban.
That's look.
Totally Eartha.
Yeah.
That is. Well, by the way, I love how she's wearing a turban on top of a weave. Like, she's acting like she's not going to do her hair on top of $900 worth of hair. That's hilarious to me.
Or it's, I guess it's a headband, right? But kind of like it's supposed to look turban-esque.
Yeah. It's like a headband.
We're not talking about the elephant in the, or the smallest thing in the room is her nose.
Oh, yeah.
It is contoured like a Rue Girl, honey.
On top of the 4 nose jobs. I think her entire family, they all have the same plastic surgeon. Her dad decided.
Most likely.
Yeah. Her dad decided a family meeting, we're all going to go to the same guy and we're all going to be Puerto Rican. That I think that was the goal. Because like literally they all got 3 shades lighter and just smaller features and just ambiguousized themselves into like a different species. Because they don't look black or human anymore.
She has the cheeks plump, but I also think too, if I have a photo of her here and I'm pointing to like her lips and like they probably also put that little string in here.
Yeah, to draw back. They do the ribbon face, looks like Madonna. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my thing is when you do a lot of plastic surgery like that, because she's like a good, she's about 15 years deep into a plastic surgery journey, past the noses. When you look like that, you have to wear makeup all the time. Mm. What does she look like when she wakes up in the morning next to that Arab guy who gave her that white baby when she was 52? Like that, those are the things I think about, because in the morning when you wake up and there are lines and scars and the hair's here and this going on, it's scarier than if she had just had wrinkles and shit, you know? Because when you look like that, you have to be done all the time. My grandma had a lot of plastic surgery near the end with no makeup. It was scary with makeup. It was that.
Oh, really?
But like, because she had the face, she had the top done twice and then the bottom done once. Mm. And then she had like a tummy tuck and her tits moved around and all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
Because she started dating a guy that was 25 years younger than her when she was like 60.
Didn't that guy also date your mom?
Yeah, first.
So your mom, your grandma stole your mom's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. But me and my mom moved to Kentucky first. So it wasn't stealing. He just kept coming back to the house.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. But that was a moment. But like, yeah, no, it was a lot of plastic surgery. And that shit is daily life upkeep. And it's secrets between you and your hairstylist. And like, it's consistent.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my God. We ended on Janet Jackson's fucking nose.
I think it's a great way to go.
A point. Shit.
The point is the nose.
I guess. Just the end of it.
Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is available everywhere fine podcasts are found. If you're not subscribing to us, we'd love to hear your thoughts and reviews. Post a review on the Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts, wherever you are listening, and let the world know how fierce and fabulous your favorite podcast is.
And your favorite guest who's been on it like 15 times. I'm pretty sure it's like my 15th episode.
Yeah. You almost has been on as many times on the show as Sharon Needles has.
And believe me, we're sharing episodes and needles. We're doing everything.
I want to remind everybody that Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. Without your help, we could not do it. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and listen to some of our vintage shows. Shows like with Latrice Royale or, you know, the show with Kirk Frederick, Charles Pierce's personal assistant, who wrote an amazing book about this very legendary drag queen, Charles Pierce. And you can get that at feastoffun.com/plus.
You can also join us at Patreon and get behind the scenes looks at what we do here at Feast of Fun.
Yes, honey.
And pictures from Mark's colonoscopy.
Ooh.
Yeah, and if you want us to sell a shit-scented candle, we're on top of that.
Oh, yeah, because that's the difference between gay people and straight people. Straight people like smelling their own farts, and they like their own ass. That's why they're straight. We're gay. We want to smell someone else's ass.
My asshole smells like cedar, too.
Let me find out.
And pine needles. And rabbit pellets.
Rabbit shit.
Yeah. That's really pellets, good. Pellets.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. There's an acorn hanging
you
out.
You know what, though? It's like when you... really close with your dog. My dog's poop and my poop smell almost the same.
And your periods happen at the same time.
They're synchronized, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. You're starting to look like each other. You have a tail and hair on your
Jesse
ass.
Actually does look like Mark.
We look alike, but he smells more like Fausto. So. For sure.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.